your city, your mayor. Melissa in the Morning chats with Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Good morning, Mayor Ganim. I'm glad to have you here. I wanted to address sort of an elephant in the room, if I'm being honest. For about a week now, I have been inundated with calls from WICC listeners who live in Success Village, and I'm being told there's not been any hot water for about 10 days now, and I just wanted to see if other news outlets have heard about this, and News 12 talks about it. Connecticut Post had an article from actually late last week saying the problem would be resolved early this week, but it's not. Could you talk to us a little bit about what's happening?
Sure. The city's stepping up in every way that we can to try and be helpful. It's a terrible situation, one that's kind of been brewing for a long time because they have these huge old, antiquated, I call them old boilers that provide or are supposed to up until and did provide heat and hot water for almost 1,000, I think it's a little over 900 residents in units at Success Village. Many of them in Bridgeport, a number of them in Stratford. And so this is private, you know, the units are privately owned. It's a co-op, kind of an interesting way to own property, but there's a lot of co-ops around. So it's not a public housing, doesn't come under the housing authority, doesn't come under any governmental agency. But we're stepping up and trying to help in every way that we can and make sure that, one, that proper decisions are being made because we have oversight with the health department and building department and things like that, and to ensure that residents are being attended to. So we're getting the calls, and I just talked to our health director as well, and we're responding to them. But as far as an update, we've had series of meetings trying to get our arms around what is it that is going to be both a short-term and a long-term remedy for the residents. It's terrible to be there without hot water. And then looking at the long-term, if we get a chance to touch on it, you know, once we get to, let's just even say October, there's challenges with heating in the units.
I was hearing that they've had no heat for a couple of months.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. It's different from unit to unit. When I had walked through there a number of times, some of them had already, through some plan, installed the name I can't think of, their individualized heating units that they were putting in each of the units. And I was told at the time that that was the plan, knowing that the boilers were going to fail at some point, and that there were some. I actually saw them in the units. Some people liked them, some people didn't, but it was providing heat nonetheless. And then from there, of course, the boilers have since gone down. We've entertained a number of plans where we could help. And so the short term is, let me just give you the update. The short term is the city of Bridgeport and the town of Stratford have stepped in. Our health departments, the state of Connecticut has been contacted. I think there's every elected official who cares about Success Village, and I think that includes everyone, has been at the table with us trying to figure out. The short term, the most immediate and as difficult as it is the immediate solution has been that they opened the YMCAs in both Bridgeport and Stratford for residents, at least for now. Now, that's today. I'm told that the boilers have arrived. I think they may have arrived yesterday or a couple days ago. But in order for them to be fully approved, the city has sent our inspectors out there just to make sure that everything is safe. And we've checked the box on that for that. We are waiting, and it's supposed to happen today. The gas company has to do the same thing, and as does the state. And those are supposed to happen today.
Okay.
If those happen today, if those two come today, then it's my understanding, it could be as early as today, that hot water would be restored.
Okay, because I know from the listeners directly from them that they had heard about possible portable showers which had not come through. But even when I was hearing about that, I thought that doesn't logically sound like that makes a lot of sense. Only because privacy and also I don't know about like hygiene things like that. I mean, 900 plus units.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
We'd offered. And I got the numbers on it, and the city was going to foot the bill for about $24,000. And I was all supportive of whatever we needed to do with for portable showers. And that was talked about for last week. And some of the concerns that you just raised, Melissa, I think were looked at. So it was like, let's go with this option. Let's get, and again, we don't have direct control over it because they're privately owned units. But we're going to do everything we can, and I've committed along with the city council to expend where we need to resources for the health and safety of those of the residents there. And I know a lot of them. And so that's the you're exactly right. So I wouldn't call that a false start. I will call that as an option that was seriously looked at, was going to be implemented, and then was decided for some of the reasons you just mentioned that this was a better option.
Okay.
So hopefully today, and we're getting the calls and you know, we're responding to them, and I hope courteously on our phones. And I get texts from residents there.
Sure.
And I've been over there a few times myself. Actually, when we were going with the shower, portable showers, I was over there saying, you know, at least we have a short-term answer. And then, of course, I don't say facts change, but I think decision-making and logic changed on it. Now, that's only phase one. So we've got to focus and get the board to focus, and we'll help in every way we can and continue to. I'm committed to that as mayor. I know the city council is. Eileen Yevons, the council president, has been on this. And others to look at phase two before we get to the winter, because no heat is not acceptable.
It's no.
Not, it's not going to happen. And we've got to figure out what the best option is to support the board and the residents to get it done. We can't take this thing over. We've talked about having even our housing authority step in. Jillian does a great job with Park City Communities and all that. So we're going to continue to look at options, governmental options,
okay,
and be as supportive as we can. And so we're on it now. It's May. It's not a lot of time, but it's enough time if we continue to focus on it.
Yeah, because I think, as you had just mentioned, so this is a temporary boiler unit that was delivered. And so we don't even know how long or how well that's going to last.
Those are they're leased.
Okay.
From what I understand, so it's definitely a temporary fix.
Okay.
So I don't want to overstate that there's any problems been fixed.
Right.
It's a terribly difficult situation.
Is the YMCA going to remain open if we do lose hot water again in the next week or so? Like, was that deal determined as well? Are they going to open?
Yeah,
it up?
I don't. I've heard. I have not. Yeah. Ours on Park Avenue, at least, they said. I think it's Monday through Friday, 1 to 3, and I can double check that and give you more information.
That would actually be
great.
We have Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim here for a couple more minutes. And really quick, Mayor Ganim, I know that was only a quick commercial break, but any other updates for Success Village before we move on to the swearing-in ceremony this afternoon?
No.
Okay.
The best thing to do is I will ask our communications officer to keep you apprised of developments. This way you have the information, and at the appropriate time you can give it out to residents, as you receive it, as one vehicle to make sure that people are informed.
Perfect. I appreciate that. So this afternoon, it is your eighth term doing an oath of office, being sworn in officially as the mayor of Bridgeport. And I know it comes right around the time that you just passed the budget. I wanted to just look at some of the big takeaways, if you will, but also, you know, what you want to highlight ahead of your speech this afternoon.
Sure. I mean, I don't even know this is the eighth time in some 20 years collectively that I've had the pleasure, the honor, and the challenge, daily challenge of serving the city as mayor. It continues to be a great honor, and I don't take it lightly as mayor. My dad, who's now 96, is going to swear me in, and so that's kind of an honor in and of itself. But to begin my term now, I know we're into it because of the delays and the swearing in and all that with the elections. We have a lot of good stuff going on in the city. And I think the vision for the city is not only to keep the important things. I mean, we balanced the budget last night with holding the line on taxes again, which has become my hallmark. Tax cuts for the seniors on fixed incomes to help them fight the never-ending battle of high property taxes in cities. Continued funding for 100 new police officers, for the leadership of our chief and community outreach, community policing. And so those are infrastructure programs, repairs of roads, the bridges are still in the works. We've seen ourselves kind of identified transitionally now from what was everything that was not positive, let's just say, negative stories about challenges and social challenges, to being identified in many ways as a city of attractions with the name of dubbed the music and entertainment capital of Connecticut. And at the same time, I've tried to focus on expanding housing, affordable housing opportunities. That's why Success Village is so important. That is affordable housing. It's home ownership. And that's why, even though we're not directly involved because it's privately owned, we want to step in and make sure that those residents have the safety and security of a roof over their head with hot water and heat. And I think I've refocused over the past 6 months, even after the 7 or 8 years of the last 2 years, of reconnecting, I think, with residents in every neighborhood in the city on a one-on-one basis as much as I can, as difficult as it is, to understand the challenge of everything from homelessness, where I spent a couple of days in Washington with mayors across the country to get a focus on not only just more housing needs, which is a national crisis, but the challenge of homelessness for veterans and for residents. And so I guess what I'm saying is the big picture is, yes, we're going to continue to balance the budget and get great reviews from Wall Street or credit ratings and build buildings and amphitheaters and other music venues and the waterfront and the high rises going up on the waterfront at Steel Point finally, and new soccer stadiums. And you've heard, you know, we've talked about the list. But I also know this is a city of 150,000 in a very financially affluent county in the country, in the state and in the country, that doesn't have all that, and that they need a city and a mayor, elected officials to support the challenges that they have, whether they're seniors on fixed incomes, as we talked about, our young people in our schools. We've committed $3 million more this year to the Bridgeport schools, and some $15, $16, or $17 million in increased funding over the years to make sure that they have access to, and I put this as our challenge, to make sure that they have the opportunity to get the same quality of good public education that a child growing up in Westport or Greenwich gets. Mm-hmm. And that's the equalizer, that opportunity for education. I'm heading after this call over to meet our superintendent and a bunch of school students. And I'm going to talk to them about where we are. My swearing in is eight terms as mayor, 20 years as mayor. None of them are even 20 years old yet, so it's got to be daunting for them. But I'm going to encourage them as our future to really think about what – certainly their lives may be a little more challenging than mine was growing up, but to aspire if they want to, for whatever they want to do. But I encourage them to, if their Bridgeport is home, and obviously it is, for them to consider their future being part of that and becoming part of the leadership in a profession or a trade or a career or in government, where they could continue what I think is consistent steps forward of improving the quality of life in Bridgeport for everyone who lives here, works here, you know, calls it, feels they're a part of Bridgeport or call it home.
Mm. And again, Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim will be sworn in and receive the oath of office to commence his eighth term for being the Bridgeport mayor. And that is going to be happening actually this evening. It's at 5:30, and it will be done at the office of the mayor at Margaret Morton Government Center. This is open to the public as well. And it's pretty neat that the oath is going to be administered by your dad, George W. Ganim Sr., which is pretty cool. So, Mayor Ganim, thank you so much for coming on before.
I want people to know it is open to the public, and not many, even many people who are, know me well, have not had an opportunity to ever be in the mayor's office. And it's an opportunity for the public to come in, to be a part of the ceremony, the refreshments there, starts at 5:30, and to come in. There's a lot of history on the walls and memorabilia about the city's past and so on. So I don't say it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but it's a nice opportunity. So please feel welcome. That's the message we want people to have about the opportunity to come and be a part of it. That's why we're having outside or at the mayor's office at 999 Broad Street at 5:30 today. Melissa, thank you for having me again. I look forward to talking to you and everyone next week.
Absolutely. Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim here on WICC.